Lord shall not make
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you're with us for this broadcast, and we have a treat for you once again. Last broadcast, we had preacher Dwight Banks, and he preached on the Temple Mount, and it was just a wonderful, challenging message about what's going on with that. Now, this broadcast, we're going to have Dr. Ronnie Simpson, which has been here on this broadcast before. And he's going to be preaching a great message on raptured sounds, sights, and signs. And you don't want to miss it, so you just kind of sit tight there wherever you are and just give your ear to this message. Many people today are wondering what in the world is going on with all the things, the rumors of wars and perilous times. The Bible prophesied shall come, and I'm here to tell you it is here today. Perilous times are here already. And we invite you to listen in, and we may not have much time left to do news and analysis this broadcast, but go ahead and get your friends now and get your family members and you ought to call them up and let them know this is a very important message. You don't want to miss it. So, I present to you a message from God's holy word, the King James Bible. If you're a Jewish person, oh, you're our honored guest. So, we invite you to listen with attentive ears, obedient hearts, and a teachable spirit.
The Bible is in order. Hey, if there's anything I know about this Bible, God is the God of order. Hey, he said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, who's that for? That's for the church. That's the voice of the archangel. That's for the Gentile. That's for the trump of God. That's for Israel. Amen? But you know, every time there's a shout, it was always for somebody to save. Every time Jesus shouted, it was for a saved man. Well, somebody said, well, I don't believe in all this shouting. You wouldn't like Jesus? Man, he was a shouter, amen. In fact, if you study the New Testament, he shouted three times. You just say, what is he shouting? I'm saying something real loud like, glory! That's what it is. That's just saying something real loud we can understand. Well, so the Bible said that Jesus shouted three times. But he always shouted for a believer, that every time he shouted for a believer, there's a resurrection. First time he shouted, it was at the tomb of Lazarus, and one came out. The second time he shouted was at Calvary, "Yes, yes, finished!" And many came out. So thank God the next time he shouts, we're all going to come out. Amen? Thank God he shouts for a believer, that it creates a resurrection. Hello? I want to tell you something when he shouts. I was looking at this, and Buzz did a good word study. This word here, shouting, it's not just an indiscriminate shout, but it's the shout of a commander. That's the shout of a general. That's the shout of a general. That when he shouts, he says, "Grave, let him out. Hell, let him eat through. That heaven, let him eat. Amen." Well, thank God the graves are going to open. That hell is going to part. That heaven is going to open. And we're going home. Amen. There ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Amen. I've said that he's going to shout for the believer. That not is something else. He said with the voice of the archangel. That's for the Gentile. This archangel, of course, is Michael. That Michael is God's warring angel. When Michael sounds, there was always a war. And you know, for 6,000 years, that God has warned the Gentile world and the judgment of Almighty God. That the Bible said in Revelation chapter 6, that the Lamb opens the seal, that the unfolding judgment began. That the Bible said this voice announced the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, the seven vow judgments, and the three woes. That's so when Michael Burr, that Michael shouts, I want to tell you something, this Gentile world is going to come under judgment. But what excites me is that trumpet. Amen. The voice, the Lord himself shout for the church. And with the voice of the archangel, to warn the Gentiles, judgment is coming. But then the Bible says, there is a shout for the Jew. Amen. He said, with the trump of God. Now, I want to tell you something. If that is not definitely a sign for the Jew, I'm not behind this pulpit preaching. You look up something in this Bible, and it always corresponds with the Jew. In fact, those Jews had two silver trumpets. Well, I believe in typology, that talks about the Word of God of redemption. In the Old Testament, the Word of God of redemption. In the New Testament, there are only two testaments, but in each one of them, you get saved by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And you know, when God gave instructions on Mount Sinai for the law, he also gave instructions for the tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, there were two trumpets, and they would blow those trumpets. Then there's a certain sound, Israel began to walk. Then they blew another sound, they went to war. Then they blew another certain sound, it was for worship. But you know, that is the exact outline of the tribulation period. Hey, where is Israel? There's us on the sidelines tonight. Amen. But when that trumpet sounds, she's going to get up off the sideline. And she's going to start walking again. But it's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble. There's going to be a time of war. And after 7 years of tribulation, they shall look upon him whom they pierced, and they shall worship him. Amen. The trumpet was for walking, the trumpet was for warring, and the trumpet is for worshiping. That's the exact outline of the 7 years of tribulation. You reckon God had anything to do writing that Bible?
Oh, you know that.
Look out, I'm about to run. Hey, I want to say something. God's got an order. Amen. I'm glad when that trumpet sounds, Israel's going to stand up. They don't understand why they're standing up. They don't understand why they're coming off the sideline. They don't understand the time to take a trouble. They don't understand the coming of the Lord. But when they look upon him, the Bible said they'll worship him. Amen. This Bible's a Bible of order. Israel had seven feasts. They had the Passover. They had the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They had the first fruits, Pentecost, Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the Tabernacle. Don't you know the first four fruits have already been fulfilled? Passover, he's already died on the cross. Amen. The unleavened bread, his body, was was without spot or blemish. That he was the first fruit of the resurrection. That Pentecost was the final drop coming upon the church. Then you say, what is the next feast that they're in order? That's the feast of the trumpets. That the next thing on God's time table, that's the coming of the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, those four types, if they have been fulfilled, you must have down. Say, you must have down that the trumpet shall be fulfilled, that day of the trumpet shall be fulfilled, that the tabernacle shall be fulfilled, just like the other four. Hallelujah! I'm going to tell you something. I'm so glad that God's a God of prophecy, that if any prophecy has ever been fulfilled, all prophecy will be fulfilled. He said, Church of Thessalonica, have you heard any sounds yet? No. Well, the rapture hasn't taken place then. But he said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of our Savior, and with the temple of God. He said there'd be some rapture sounds. Then he said there'd be some rapture sights. He said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That thee and we which are alive and remain shall be called together to meet them in the air. Now, you know, when you study the rapture, and when you study the resurrection, it's always typified in the harvest. The harvest had three parts. The resurrection has three parts. Her Christ is called the first fruits. That you and I in the church age were the main harvest. That then the tribulation age are going to be the gleaning. Hallelujah, amen. I said hallelujah, glory to God. I always say, did Jesus rise from the grave? He did. Amen. And the Bible said he was the first fruits of the resurrection. That's important to know that. I'm trying to slow down. Now listen, He's the first fruits. But you know Leviticus 23:10-14, when the harvest was ready, the high priest would go out into that field of golden grain, and he'd take a sheaf of that golden grain, come back before the altar, and wave it before the altar. That was called the wave offering. That was called the first fruits. You know what he was saying? You know what God was telling Israel? He's just saying, number one, that the harvest in general was accepted, blessed, but it was an assurance that there was more grain on the way. That Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. That means that God accepted his death, burial, and resurrection. He approved of it. But when he arose, what God was saying, just like I rose my son, there's a whole lot more coming out of the grave just like him. Amen. Hey, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. I'm telling you, there's going to come a resurrection day. He said there's going to be some rapture sights. Amen. The resurrection is literal. I believe in a literal body resurrection. Somebody said, well, how can God raise a body from the dead? Why, you ignoramus. God said, has not only raised a man from the dust one time, but if you're saved, he's going to raise it from the dust three times. You say, well, what three times has he raised us? First of all, he raised us out of the dust of creation. He formed man out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Did you just tell your biology teacher that a one-cell amoeba doesn't have a nose hole? He formed a man out of the dust of the earth and breathed his nostrils. He became a living soul. And then only did he bring us out of the dust of creation, but it brought us out of the dust of regeneration. David said he brought me up out of the miry clay. Amen. And then in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, he's going to bring us out of the dust of resurrection. Amen. I've said if God can get us out of the dust of creation, if God can save our dirty souls, of the dust of regeneration, I've said he can get us out of the dust of resurrection. Amen. I'm saying that the resurrection is believable. Just think how we got here in the first place. Man, I was walking around one day and I discovered I was here. You talk about an inferiority complex. I went and asked my daddy. I said, "Daddy, how did I get here?" He said, "The dog drug you up." For a long time, I thought the dog had drugged me up. Then I went back. I said, "Surely the dog didn't drug me back up." I said, "Daddy, where'd I come from?" He said, "We found you in a stump hole in the woods." I thought I was a nobody. Amen. But I want to tell you, I just went down to walk around and I was here. Amen. And just think about this body that we have that was formed in the darkness of the womb. Think about the brain that's the best computer in the world. And think about the heart that's the best pump that can pump for 70, 80 years. And think about the eyes that's the best telescope that can look at thousands of stars in the universe. And think about the ears that are best receiver. And think about the spinal cord, the best telegraph. And think about the tongue, the best amplifier with women doubly abused. I want to tell you something. I don't even know how I got here the first time. I just woke up one day and all of a sudden, and I just found out I was here. What I say is nowhere more incredible that we should live again than it is that we should live at all. But I believe if God got me here the first time, I believe God can get me there the second time. Amen? I have no doubt in my mind that if God can bring life out of a womb, he can most certainly bring life out of a tomb. Amen. That's what he says. Some of me walk around in glory. God said, "How to get here?" And God said, "I got you there the first time, and I got you here the second time." Amen. I believe in a literal bodily resurrection. No doubt in my mind. But the resurrection can be illustrated too. Now, you know, I was raised in the country. Somebody said you take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. And I believe that. And I'm not ashamed of my heritage. I like country. I like country cooking. I still like cornbread and milk and onions. I still like taters and pinto beans and cathead biscuits. Amen? I still like it. Amen? In fact, I'm getting hungry just talking about it. Amen? Yeah, but I want to tell you something right now. When I was raised, people say, "Boy, I'd like to get back to those good old days." Hogwash you on that? That's Chinese for hogwash. We used to pick cotton when I was a boy. I mean, I took 125, 10 pounds of eggs back to you, back just about broke. And a lot of times, while I was picking cotton, we get in high cotton. Now, what I mean by high cotton, the stalks were high. And you could hide. Mom would be ahead of me, and I'd just sit down on my sack and hide in the high cotton. And I've been in there, and I found out some of that. I was messing with a little green worm, a little saddleback worm. Yeah. And that thing bit me. Boy, I'm telling you, set me on fire. And I started screaming like a Comanche, and I said, "Ah!" And I was a clown. My grandma said, "Come here, come here. I can help you." And I went over there, she went and spit on my arm. Under God, I'd rather have the burning than the spit on that tobacco spit on my arm. It was awful. But I sat there and watched that old green woolly worm climb up that cotton stalk. Well, he'd climb so slow, and every once in a while, he'd just pick up his old head and just swing it like that. Looked up there and said, "I wonder if there's anything better than a cotton stalk. I wonder if there's anything up above the leaves. I wonder if there's anything up there above the trees and the birds and the clouds." But that old woolly worm would just kind of bow his head in resignation and say, "This is all there's ever going to be." Over in the following year, he'd go into something that looked like a casket. And he'd formed something around his body, began to weave a cocoon. And that old woolly worm was gone from this world. But I tell you what, you come around springtime. And about springtime in around April or May, all of a sudden that little cocoon is split right open. And out come that little green woolly worm. But it's not a green woolly worm now. But it's a big old beautiful butterfly. And it comes out, stretches wings. He said, "I've always wondered what was beyond the stalk. that what was beyond the sky. And he clapped those wings, and here he went above the sky, and the sky, and he went above the birds, and he went above the trees. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're not what we ought to be. Well, thank God we're not what we're going to be. And someday we're going to stretch out of this old life and sail beyond the stars. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know I'm telling it to you. Amen. But the rapture, ladies and gentlemen, can be describable too. Now you're the like one for your share of the flying. I used to fly about twice a month. Never did like it, but I'd fly. And then I got inner ear trouble. And I'd get up about 32,000 feet. And that, as long as I could feel something pulling on me, I was all right. But when that old jet kind of smoothed down and go, my ears start playing, and I feel like the seat was falling under me. I mean, I'd grab my wife, and I won't fly. I ain't gonna fly nowhere anymore. Amen. Somebody said, I want you to preach in Australia. I said, that's fast boat. I'm not going to Australia. Amen. And then I got to think about that one day. I'm going to have to fly someday. I'm going to have to fly someday. And I got scared. I said, how in the world, if I can't get in a jet, how am I going to go up in the rapture? I get up and I started sitting there standing, get kind of nervous. I get on top of the building. I said, how in the world am I going to, how am I going to stand? Go thousands of miles above the earth. I mean, I went down to somewhere. I went down to a Kennedy Space Center, and I went in there, and they took us, you know, in that simulator, and we went out and out of space, and I was holding on to everything we had about me, looking around, and I started to get up and make sure we weren't out of space. Amen. That scared me to death, and I got to say, how in the world am I going to stand the rapture? And I got to look, and I believe the Bible tells us an answer. Right, I know it tells us an answer. Amen. And then one day I come across this verse. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I said, how do I get there? He said, you got the same thing in you that's in Christ. And said, what he says, you're going to leave this world. And I got to think about this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did you know that Jesus is the greatest magnet in the world? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. But you know what he picks up? You know what he picks up? A magnet picks up things that's got the same element in it. See this nail? Reason it's attracted to that magnet. There's something in that nail that's in that magnet. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, can I say something? A lot of people, they put a lot of emphasis on education. And I do too. We got a Bible college. But it's not education in you, the hope of glory. Amen? And I got 3 doctor's degrees, and I'm not trying to brag on that. But I'm not going to heaven because I've got a degree. Amen? I'm going to heaven because I've got Christ in me. Well, one day, Mr. Education come along. And everybody got to brag about how much you knew about the Bible. Hell, how much you knew about eschatology. How much you know that you're about all these ologies. Amen. They got to brag about how much he knew. They didn't have Christ in him. And one day, Mr. Education died. Then when Mr. Education died, they took him out to the cemetery. And they covered him up. Everybody got to talk about, he was such an educated man. He had a PhD in Christian education. And he had everything. They didn't have Christ to him. Amen. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then there was another man in the community, and his name was Mr. Morality. I mean, he was good as gold. I mean, he had little old ladies across the street. I mean, he was a good man. He was a moral man. But can I tell you something about gold? It doesn't have the same properties in gold that's in the magnet. I don't care how good you are, you're not going to heaven because of your good works. They're skillful by grace, they saved and saved. That debt not ourselves, it's a gift of God. Amen. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And one day, Mr. Morality died, and they took him out to the same cemetery. Well, Mr. Education, they put him in there. Well, they said, oh, Mr. Education, he had a lot of knowledge. But said, Mr. Zoll, he is the most moral man I've ever known in my life. But he didn't have Christ in him. Amen. There's another man in the community, and boy, the preacher sure liked him. He was Mr. Money. Yeah, the preacher really bragged on him because he always buying him a suit of clothes, and he'd buy him a car, and once in a while he'd come by, he'd put $100 in the preacher's pocket, and everybody bragged about how much he gave to the church, how he paid the building fund off, and boy, this. But there's one thing about silver, brother. It don't have the same properties in it that the magnet has. It's not what you give that gets you to heaven. That's what He gave you, amen. But one day, Mr. Money died. But they took him down to the same cemetery. Hey, Mr. Education, Mr. Morality was. And the daddy said, Lord, has anybody went to heaven? Mr. Money did. Look what he gave to the church. But it's not how much you've been in the church. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. But then one Sunday, this old man walks in the church. He was just an old drunk. He was just an old dope daddy. I mean, he didn't have any education. In fact, he didn't go to the sixth grade. Hey, I would say, Mr. Nail got Jesus in him. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah, amen. Well, I want to tell you something. Before they ever got into the baptism pool, he died. And the church of Christ said he couldn't go to heaven because he didn't get baptized. And the Pentecost said he couldn't go to heaven because he didn't speak in tongues. Only thing that it had in it was Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. They take it down to the same cemetery where they buried Mr. Education, where they buried Miss Morality, where they buried Mr. Money. And they laid him down, and the preacher come along and said, here's a poor old man. Said he didn't have any education. Here's a poor old man. He didn't have much morality. He was wicked most of his life. And he never gave a dime to the church. But he said he got saved by the grace of God. And they took him out there, and they buried him in the same cemetery with Mr. Education, Miss Morality, and Miss Money. And his wife came along, and she was standing beside the grave. Then he had a little boy named Toe. His name was Nail, and a little boy named Toe Nail, and a little daughter named Hang Nail. And Mrs. Nail was standing right there beside the grave. And the preacher got to saying, well, this man didn't have any education, and this man didn't have any morals, and this man didn't have any money. But while they're out there beside the grave, all of a sudden, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And He sweeps across the grave of Mr. Education, and nothing moves. And the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God. And He sweeps across the grave of Mr. Morality, and nothing moves. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel. And it goes across the grave of Mr. Money, and nothing happens. But the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. It wasn't our education. It wasn't our morality. It wasn't our money. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, well, I guess I'll have flying grace in that day. Amen. My money's not going to make me fly. My morals are not going to make me fly. Amen. But Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. He said, have you seen any sights yet? No. Have you heard any sounds yet? No. He said, well, the rapture hadn't taken place yet. Then in chapter 5, he talks about some rapture signs. And they're not for us. But if I see something happen for the Jews, bless God, I'm getting my jumping shoes on. We're getting ready to leave out of here, amen. Boy, I'm glad, like Brother Banks preached, I'm glad that Israel is surrounded. I'm glad she's in the newspaper every day. I'm glad she's got the headlines, amen. I tell you, we're getting ready to leave out of here, amen. The lost can't see it. Only the saved can. He said here in this verse of Scripture, better the chapter 5, verse 1, better the times and the season, brethren. You have no need, I write you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. That verse number 4, he says, that ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief.
That's exactly right.
We don't know it's getting close. We don't know the day of the hour, but what about the year? I don't know when he's coming, but I do know he's coming real good. You know what the skeptics say? They say, but where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Now, that might have been all right for 1950 years, but not for this generation. There's some things that's happening in this generation that no other generation has seen. Boy, I'm so glad somebody said, I'd like to live in the days of sin. If I will live back then,
right,
I'm glad I'm living right now. God said, David served God in his generation. Amen. Why are you alive? Why are you glad you're alive today, Brother Ronnie? Number one, no other generation has seen the formation of the United States of Europe. I can't preach on all of it. Number two, no other generation has seen the rise to power of Russia, as described in Ezekiel chapter 38. No other generation. No other generation has seen the 200 million army of Red China, as described in Revelation chapter 9, Revelation chapter 6. Forget about Iraq. Forget about North Korea. Forget about Russia. Red China is who you ought to be afraid of if you're lost.
That's right.
All things continue as though from the beginning. No, here we got the United States of Europe. Here we got Russia rising to power. Here we have, in 1980, Red China boasted of a 200 million army, and they're going to come from the east. The Bible said in Revelation 9, Revelation 16, that here's the one that proves the Bible is the Word of God. He says in the book of Matthew, he said, the generation that sees the tree begin to blossom. That generation not passed away.
Well,
all these things he's
1948.
Yeah. Israel was conceived. She was made a nation. I mean, they recognized her. I mean, she became a nation. She was born again in 1948. Let me give you some dates. Just so happened this way. It ain't nothing to it. But did you know at the age of 13, a young man that is a Jew is recognized as a man?
You got that.
Israel was born again in 1948. In 1961, 13 years after she was conceived, the United Nations recognized her as a nation.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that something?
How about that?
It just happened. But you know when, at the age of 20, a young man in Israel goes to war. Did you know in 1968, after the 1967 war, 20 years later, Israel formed a standing army?
That's right. Amen.
Exactly 20 years later, when a man is 20 years old, he went into an army of Israel.
Hey.
At the age of 30, a young man could enter the priesthood. That's why Jesus waited 30.
You got that right.
He was baptized not because he needed to get saved or join the church. He was filling the ceremonial law. He had to be washed with water. He had to be anointed with oil. And he was given into the priesthood as our high priest and as our king and as our savior. Amen. Did you know in 1978, for the first time since Israel was born, that she put a religious study and a religious education department in their public school system? 30 years after she was conceived. Did you know when a man reaches age, when a priest reaches 60 years old, he can retire? He can go into retirement. He can go into rest. Yeah. Israel was born in 1948. 50 years later, 1998, I was looking for the rapture. Didn't take place. Didn't mess up my theology.
Well, I know that,
because I know our dates are anywhere from 4 to 15 years off.
You know, right?
At least 4 to 15 years off. Maybe probably 15 years off. Amen? But there's enough scripture in the Bible that teaches us that the coming of the Lord is nigh. In fact, the Bible said a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. At the year 2000, we completed 6 days in our county. But how does God count? Nobody knows. Because he don't want nobody to know. He said no man know the hour nor the day. Amen? And so he felt our calendar, he let our calendar be messed up from 4 to 16 years so nobody could set a date. Let me give you some scripture, just throw it out. Joshua, can anybody tell me what Joshua's Old Testament name means? Jesus. Joshua had a children of Israel getting ready to cross Jordan. Bible said after 3 days, Joshua told them, said, I'm crossing the river. They said, y'all back up about 2,000 cubits. Said, I'm going to go across, but you back up about 2,000 cubits. They said, when I cross, then the rest of you can cross. Amen. About 2,000 years ago, he crossed. Amen. I mean, he entered in. Amen. And he said, you stay back about 2,000 cubits. Amen. Hallelujah, glory to God. I said, hallelujah, glory to God. About, why did he say about 2,000 cubits? So we couldn't set no date. He said about 2,000 cubits. It could have been 2,015 cubits. It could have been 2,004 cubits. But he said, I'm getting ready to cross. And here's the good thing about it. I read where they lined up to cross the Jordan River, and it was several miles back. And those people on the back row couldn't tell when Jesus crossed. Now the first 50 rows probably could have seen him cross. And they said, Joshua crossed. Well, how did the back row find out Jesus had crossed? They had to take the word of somebody that saw Joshua cross. How do we know that he died and was buried and rose again? We had to take the word of somebody who saw him. Glory to God. I'm glad, thank God, he crossed. Amen. And we're back about 2,000 cubits. Amen. Hey, can I tell you something else? In John chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible said after 3 days, they had the marriage of Cana. And after 3 days, we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. In Matthew 16:32, that was after 3 days that he fed the multitude. Amen. Did you know the Bible said in Matthew chapter 17, after 6 days he was transfigured before James and John and Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration? Here's one I like, Hosea 6:2. After 2 days will he revive us. Then the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Said, preacher, when he's coming, I have no idea. But I know it's closer than it ever has been before. Paul was writing to this little church. He said, have you heard any sounds yet? No. Have you seen any signs yet? No. Have you seen any signs yet? No, but we have. And the rapture's real close. Paul was writing to this church that the grave was not the end. I'm glad the grave is not the last goodbye, but it's the first hello. It's not the end of the book, but the start of a new chapter. It's not the last amen, but it's the opening song. It's not the last song, but it's the hallelujah chorus. Someday the bird is going to sing his last song. The brook is going to ripple its last drop. The candle is going to burn its last wick. The sun is going to go down the last time. The farmer will plow his last furrow. The mother will cook her last meal. The preacher will preach his last sermon. The mortician will dig his last grave. And the singer will sing his last melody. And then we'll hear the shout and the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. And all the great will come and shall pass the trees and the buildings and the clouds and the planets and the stars. And someday we'll stand on the sunny banks and sweet deliverance and say, hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then we'll be glad we didn't sin. And then we'll be glad we didn't compromise. And then we'll be glad we didn't slow down. And then we'll be glad we paid the price. Then we'll be glad we formed the contract. And then we'll be glad we burned the bridges and cut the strings.
Hallelujah.
I hear old Dan Lather get on CBS some night, and all of a sudden he say, Special Bulletin! Planes down in the Atlantic. Pilot is nowhere to be found. Special Bulletin! Plane has derailed in Chicago, Illinois. A body showed everywhere. Engineer nowhere to be found. Special Bulletin! Wrecks on the interstates of America everywhere. Drivers nowhere to be found. Special Bulletin! Lights on a town meeting down in Osaka, Georgia. Cars in the parking lot. Her clothes in the build-up, heat's on her, nobody's nowhere to be found. That's taking place. Jesus has come. And Jesus has come. Jesus has come. Special Bulletin. Special Bulletin. I'm glad, thank God, he's a-coming. That's my blessed hope. I'm glad, thank God, when he stays there, the world is going to, we're going to say goodbye to the world. For the last time, Special Bulletin, Jesus is coming again. Let's all stand.
Well, I want to just thank God for that message. And Dr. Simpson is right on the mark. Praise God for the good word being preached. You know, we are very, very close, closer than you think. In fact, real good article reported in the Fundamentalist Digest and quoted from a MIT reporter, prophetic foreshadowing of the last days, was reported as MIT lab creates inanimate robot with infant human-like capabilities. 35 years ago, the world's concept of artificial intelligence was strictly limited to the Space Odyssey image of the Star Wars movie video variety, though a human-type robot is still in its infant stages. The rapidly developing scientific technology is changing the former mythical images into basic reality. In its March issue, the Globe and Mail, Toronto, Ontario, contain an article dealing with a robot named Ripley that was recently created at MIT's Media Lab. According to the reporter, while the newly created robot's initial capabilities are similar to a slow-witted infant, the robot is gradually organizing itself into greater and greater complexity that will possess awareness of having a body and of the body's movements. With these gradual advancements, the robot will possess more complicated abilities such as the human equivalent of knowing, perceiving, intuition, and thinking. The MIT's lab's goal is to create a robot that you can sit down and have a conversation with, one that has a full sense of a self, quote-unquote, concept just like human beings. According now to Revelation 13, verses 14 and 15, during tribulation period, the second beast is going to make an inanimate image of the first beast, Antichrist. This second beast is then going to give this inanimate image the life equivalent animate properties of voice projection. In other words, speaking as a person, as well as powerful persecuting abilities to kill, that is murder, individuals who refuse to worship this life projecting figure. The writer does not believe any such robot will possess these life equivalent powers until after the rapture occurs. This robot creation, however, is a stark reminder of the soon coming return of Christ. Via such robots, the unbelieving world is now in the process of being prepared for the satanic empowered tribulation era signs and wonders. Potential billions worldwide see captured soldiers on TV. The recent Iraq war is the first conflict that citizens anywhere in the world were able to witness firsthand the actual battles and conflicts of war. Over 600 journalists embedded with military troops reported firsthand the scenes of war as they actually occurred. At the beginning of the recent war in Iraq, the former Iraqi state-controlled television show showed pictures that were broadcast by all the TV networks around the world of two captured American soldiers in Iraqi custody. No one knows the actual vast numerical figure that witnessed that historic scene. With a world population that hovers around 6 billion souls, it is entirely possible that an audience of, let's say, 2 to 3 billion watch this heart-rending event. Revelation 11, verses 3 to 12, records the future scene of two bold biblical witnesses who will suffer public martyrdom during the tribulation period as the entire world views with glee the Antichrist's murderous acts. Humanist critics who once ridiculed the potential historical fact of this prophecy must honestly admit that with the advent of modern communications technology, the biblically predicted massive audience to these future murders is an actual potentiality. The above foreshadows should motivate genuine saints of God concerning their evangelistic privileges and responsibilities. Know the time in which we live. Believers must be ardent in their gospel proclamation endeavors. The time to reach beguiled, naive sinners with the gospel is now. While the gospel invitation door is still open. Then let me extend these comments to you who are listening to this broadcast. Time is short, and time is running out. It is high time that you get right with a holy God, because there'll come a time when it'll be too late. Now, has God touched your heart during this hour? Has He shown you that you need Him? Has He convinced you by the Scriptures that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is indeed the Messiah prophesied about in the Tanakh, Old Testament, and fulfilled in the Brit Hadashah, New Covenant, New Testament? Indeed, He is. The question is, if you are a dear Jewish person, would you maybe at least acknowledge the probability that God had let you listen to this broadcast to give you an opportunity to consider the claims of the Messiahship of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, I know that Jesus, the name Jesus, might be somewhat of a offensive name to you, but it is the most lovely name ever upon this earth. That's right. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, by the way, for those who do not understand, simply means, it actually was transliterated from what we know today as the name Joshua, but it actually means, folks, God who saves. And Christ has its own meaning as well. It simply comes down to us from different transliterations from Hebrew to Greek and English, and it simply means Messiah, Anointed One. Well, the choice is up to you. God is giving you an opportunity. It might be your last opportunity. Will you receive Christ? For the Bible tells us, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I trust today, this hour, this very minute, as God has convicted you, that you will open your heart and receive that great, wonderful pardon through the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of your sins. God bless you, and I invite you to stay with us for just a moment or two, and we'll have some announcements and a free offer. God bless you, and thank you for listening. Just a reminder to please pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And also to realize, if you don't already, our indebtedness to the Jewish people. You say, what do I owe them? Well, for one thing, you owe them the Word of God. For the Bible says it was committed unto them the oracles of God. And number two, if you claim to be a Bible-believing Christian, you owe them the plan of salvation, for the Bible says salvation is of the Jew. And number three, you owe them your Savior, because the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ came out of the seed of David. The Jewish people gave us the Scriptures, gave us the plan of salvation, and gave us our Savior. God bless you.
Covenant and shows His mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heavens.
After hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire, receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. My earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at the same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.